Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast. This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
This will only take a nano-click, but you'll have to go offline.
I can use the snooze. Repair mode.
What's new, Pussycat?
Rhinox, what's going on? A spark!
Yep. The very thing which makes us what we are. Every Cybertron, Maximal, or Predacon has one. And each is different. When a spark goes online, there's great joy. When one's extinguished, the universe weeps.
Whoa, that was ultra gear.
Tell me later, and go back to beast mode.
Hello, and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines Review Podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed Podcast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network, where all of our shows are adult and explicit. So if you're under the age of 18 and your parents don't want you listening, don't listen. I am your host, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hello.
And Steve Megatron.
Howdy.
Today we will be recapping Beast Wars Season 1. So
I was going to say, I say fuck a lot in this, so it's a good thing that you prefaced with, you know, we're explicit.
Yes, I'm only going to do that for episodes 9 and 10, because Steve said that he fixed the tag, so that people should know. If it's in big red letters and says explicit, yeah, we're covered. So,
okay.
Michael, when did you first see Beast Wars, Season 1?
I wasn't really into Transformers, back in 1996. I didn't get back into collecting until about 99, 2000-ish. Even then, I was more into the vehicles. So I didn't really get into collecting Beast Wars until, 3-4 years ago, and that was about the same time that I got the shows on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So once I watched them for the first time, it's like, wow, I do like Green Eggs and Ham, and I'm going to buy them all, and that's what I did.
Gotta catch them all.
Not quite like Minicons, but yeah.
Fuck Minicons.
When you get into I want to say, like, exclusive figures that were only released in Japan or Europe or things like that.
Botcon.
There were some Beast Wars that were released only at Botcon. And I've got a couple of those. And I've got, the European releases, and I got a couple of the Japanese ones. But, it's almost like gotta catch them all. There's a lot of rare and obscure Beast Wars figures.
Yes.
Not as many as they have now, where nowadays they're deliberately making rare and obscure figures.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, when did you first see the show? Because as much as I know you are a collector, Michael, we kind of want to hold off on the actual Beast Wars era toy discussion for that final episode when we get down to episode 30, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's still good. Steve, when did you first hear or start watching Season 1?
I probably actually started seeing this around, I think from the very beginning, actually. it just happened to be, I was watching some other show, I think it was called like Mutant League or something, and then they kind of, I guess, canceled that, and then we had the UPN Power Block, and so this was on, and it had Reboot and some other shows on it at the same time, so that's when I caught this show originally, and kind of got into it from the episode one, and watched it whenever I could find it.
Yeah. For me, I've said this before, when I originally saw Beast Wars, whether it be any of the seasons, just Beast Wars in general, not just season one, I originally thought Reboot was the new Transformers cartoon. And then I saw Beast Wars, and I saw Optimus Primal, and I saw Megatron, and I'm like, wait, where's Peter Cullen? Where's Frank Welker? Where's Jack Angel? What the hell is this crap? Truck, not monkey, damn it.
The rallying cry of the fanboy.
Well, I was 16 at the time, so, and, Transformers for me, I never really collected them as a kid. I had a few, but I didn't start collecting until 2008. Huh. Late 2007, early 2008.
Newbie.
Shut the fuck up. So, I really didn't really pay any attention to it. I didn't hear anything against it, really, when I was a kid. But, now I absolutely love Beast Wars. There are so many of the toys that I would like to get eventually. Save eBay scalpers. But, I've been going all over Twitter now under the Beast Unleashed account and just saying, monkey, not truck, monkey, not truck. Just to piss people off, because honestly, I'm really enjoying this cartoon. This is better than originally I thought it was going to be, because back then, I just kind of like, Steve, you said you kind of caught it when you could, but back then, I caught it if it was on, but I never really caught on to the whole concept of it. And now that I've got all of the DVDs, including Beast Machines, which we will be getting to eventually. Overall, my impressions of Season 1 would have to be, it is awesome. The backgrounds look incredible, although there are some flaws. I'm not without admitting that there are some flaws to the show, but still, it's 200% better than what G1 was, as far as design aesthetic, and as far as not seeing six different repainted versions of Pterosaur in one shot.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. I'm referencing the Starscream colors syndrome of
yeah. I would have to argue that, because I think even in the first episode of Beast Unleashed, I was complaining about how awful the CGI is. And granted, this was state-of-the-art in 1996.
Yeah.
It's still pretty bad. And toward the end of Season 1, you start to see the CGI get better. Well, toward the middle of Season 1, you see it get better. By the end, it's not awful. The when they show landscapes and, grand sweeping vistas, they're not as bland as they were in the beginning. I mean, they really had some time to tweak the design. And as far as your comparison with G1 goes, they focus on particular characters. Granted, there was like 30-odd toys for the first year of Beast Wars, but they didn't feel inclined to bring new toy of the day in as a new character. And when they did bring in new characters,
it made sense for the story.
Exactly, right. And this was very story-based. You had an ongoing story arc that they stuck to. Occasionally you had one-shots or filler episodes, but you had an ongoing story arc, maybe a couple different ongoing story arcs that they really fleshed out over the season and over the next season. And to be honest, I went ahead and looked at a couple clips from Season 3 and was just amazed at how the CGI had evolved even over Season 2 and Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually shocked, thinking, is this the same animation team that started in 1996 with the first couple of episodes? because it had really, really turned around. But as far as season one goes, I wasn't terribly thrilled with the CGI starting off. Mm-hmm. Now, the storytelling, yes, it was great. And granted, the CGI did get better. But, to start off with, especially early season one, so-so.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion, so whatever.
Well, again, compare it to season three. Compare it to
don't even compare it to Beast Machines, because, hell, Beast Machines is infinitely better than all of it, but...
Several years later, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, like you said, at the time, in 1996, this was state-of-the-art, most beautiful thing, and, of course, we're reviewing it over...
Yeah, 15 years later.
15 years later, or something like that.
Yeah.
When
we've got full-length CGI movies that look real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, one thing that they did excel in that I touched on in one of our previous episodes was, I think it was Dark Voyage. Yeah, when we covered Dark Voyage, about that Energon explosion, I mentioned that it didn't look like a CGI explosion. It looked like something you would see out of a movie.
Yeah, they put a fire blast or something in there.
Yeah, it was like one of those nuclear blasts.
An epic Michael Bay explosion.
Shut up.
But it was almost like they tried to do it in CGI, and they tried it again, and they tried it again, and said, you know what, in the interest of time and money, let's just get some stock footage and superimpose it.
Yeah. It's actually funny, in the interview that Steve and I did with Ian Corlett, he actually asked me, what did I think of the live-action films that we've had so far? And would we want to see Beast Wars in the live-action films? I said, no. Please, please, no. There's just no way that they could interpret that into real life. No way.
I think they could.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, honestly, the reason the movies suck ass is because, number one, they're poorly written. I should say, number one, they're written well, but then rewritten by Michael Bay. And number two, the designs are horrible.
Yeah,
I mean, look, it's Megatron, but he actually looks like a piece of crumpled up tinfoil. if we were to do a live-action Beast Wars, let's not say live-action. Let's say it's CGI, full CGI. Like, if you've seen, Final Fantasy Advent Children. Completely CGI, but, it's really well-rendered, and it looks real. Looks photorealistic, that type of thing. If they were to do something like that with... somebody other than Michael Bay, let's say, somebody who understood and gave a rat's ass about the mythos, mm-hmm. Who would make the characters look like what they're supposed to look like, that type of thing, then I would like to see that. I mean, if you look at Beast Wars Season 1, 1996, and the difference in CGI animation from there to Beast Machines, and Beast Machines is what, 99? 99, right. I mean, think of the difference. There's night and day. It enhances the story. It enhances the experience. 10 years later, longer than that, 11 years later, you do it again with today's CGI, and how much better would that be? Especially if you brought on the original writers. Even if it were only a 90-minute, a 90-minute, let's say, direct-to-video effort. Done with some, we get the original writers, the original voice actors, who I'm sure would be happy to do it, and, we do all the animation in some little shop in Korea, for pennies on the dollar, break that out for less than $1 million, and it would make money.
Yes. Steve, what do you think?
I think this would definitely be something cool to see redone, or revisited at least. With the original voice actors with today's standard of CG, but even for what they did back in the day, it's still not really that bad. And you can see, as they go along, how they progress and get better at doing it. So, I mean, it's not, for lack of trying, but even with that, despite that, it is still awesome to watch. Mm. I would much prefer to watch this than anything since it.
Yeah.
There's no animation or storytelling that has been done any better than this.
As far as Transformers goes.
Yes, as far as Transformers, since Beast Wars and Beast Machines.
Animated? This,
well,
animated is, it didn't really, I mean, it was good here or there.
The storytelling really picked up with
season three.
Yeah.
But they had a lot better writing and a lot better, you know, there was a lot more character development, whereas before it was just, oh, let's go do this. Oh, we have useless human villains, which it felt like kind of like they were trying to mix it with Teen Titans. I mean, it was just retarded.
Yeah. Whereas in Beast Wars, again, they have their story arcs that they stick with.
Mm-hmm. And,
they were well done, and the foreshadowing started early and was consistent.
And there were no humans.
Oh, even better. You know,
by today's standard.
Yeah, well, yeah, because nobody wants to see people in their shows. But, and I was trying to remember the name which episode it was, but early on, you know, you've got Rhinox saying, hey, there's something weird with this moon. You know, it kind of looks like it's hollow, but I'm sure it's not. This has to be an anomaly. And then, you know, 5-6 episodes later, it turns out, hey, that moon's hollow, and it's going to blow us up. You know, I mean, they pick stuff out and kind of seed it in your mind, you know, knowing full well that they're not going to bring it up again for another 5 or 6 episodes. Just like the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they bring up the alien presence early on with, you know, they find Stonehenge and they say, wow, this is alien. And then they find other stuff and say, wow, this is alien. But, you know, every three or four episodes, they'll bring something up. And then at the end, oh my god, the aliens are here, and they're going to blow us up with a killer moon. You know, and if the writing wasn't so good, they wouldn't have been able to pull that off nearly as well.
Yeah. I wrote down a few of my favorite episodes, and those are the two-part premiere Beast Wars, A Bitter Mousetrap, Dark Designs, The Low Road, Before the Storm, Before the Storm, and Other Voices, Parts 1 and Part 2.
That's it. There's going to be a fight now.
You're in Michigan. You ain't doing shit to me.
The Low Road.
There's a difference. I can drive down the Low Road and capture and destroy you.
Yes, it looks Josh Stefan. Anyways.
That's very true.
Steve, what are some of your favorite episodes?
Alrighty, here we go. I have a long list.
There's only 26 episodes, dumbass.
I was not going to list them all either, dumbass.
Only two-thirds
you
of them.
Big dumbass. But I'd have to say the two-parter of Beast Wars was awesome. You like the web. Spider Rape. I like the Better Mousetrap because it shows something of, you know, Rat Trap's awesomeness. I like Guerrilla Warfare. I'd have to say the next one I'd like out of that is Possession, just because I like the awesomeness that is Starscream. And then Before the Storm and Other Voices, Part 1 and 2.
Wait, I thought you told me off-air at some point that you really enjoyed Dark Designs, or was that you, Michael, that said you liked it?
I really liked Dark Designs.
There were a lot of awesome quotes. I do like that one. I probably forgot to say it, though.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, Dark Designs might be my favorite. I really liked The Spark.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the whole monologue that Rhinox goes into. Yeah,
like a major...
Well, no, I mean, as far as, you know, when they introduced the Spark as a plot device, which, you know, is canon now. It's huge. It's like the soul. And prior to that, you know, it hadn't been introduced, let's say. Repair mode, protoforms, you know, that's the whole idea of, you know, when a spark comes online, the whole universe rejoices, that type of thing. I just thought it was really well done, you know, and we got Air Razor out of it.
Yep.
with that. And then Dark Design, I really enjoyed just because, you know, Evil Rhinox. You know, yeah. There was I want to say this was the first time they brought up G1 continuity, where Waspinator talks about being shrapnel.
Yep.
And it's like,
it's not the first time they brought up the G1 continuity. I mean, they've, you know, the whole Premiere two-parter is pretty much a retelling of More Than Meets the Eye, except with Beast Wars characters.
Right, but I mean, I'm trying to think now, did they actually say the Predacons were the antecedents of the Decepticons? Or at one point did they come out and say, oh, the Autobots were our, or were the predecessors of the Maximals? I don't think they actually come out and say that until this episode, where he says, you know, Waspinator says, I'm Shrapnel, and then Black Arachnia says, well, how can that be? That was one of our, you know, Decepticon forefathers.
I don't know, Steve. Settle the debate.
What was the question?
Was that the first time that the G1 continuity was brought into play?
Actually, it was the web.
Okay.
It was in Cheetor's Dream.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Anyway, so, yeah. You know, I mean, I really like Dark Design. I might be one of my favorite episodes from season one.
Yes. I have the season one DVD set here in front of me. Even though Rhino did it, it's very, very cool. It's nice to have. Only complaint is there's only two special features, which those are interviews with the writer, Larry DiTillo, and Bob Forward. While they are nice, I wish that there were more special features, like maybe some actual commentaries on the episodes, because I don't think we get commentaries until Beast Machines with Bob Skeer and some of the other people that did Beast Machines, which is kind of sad. Overall, it's a nice package as far as the DVD set, other than the fact that they glue the damn booklet onto the thing, which is stupid. It's stupid. They don't do that with the other two seasons. They have the booklets in a flap. Anyway.
They learn from their mistakes.
Damn right. Morons. Fucking Rhino. Anyways, all of
He'll
the...
He'll show you a rhino.
All of the DVDs feature a character from the show. Disc 1 features Cheetor, Disc 2 features Megatron, Disc 3 features Dinobot, and Disc 4 features Pterosaur. So I thought that was really cool, instead of just the generic gray DVD or whatever. I thought it was cool that they actually made an effort and put designs on it. Overall, I think the season has its moments. There's a lot of great quotes from a lot of episodes. You know, for booting up cold, when Rat Trap says that, that's so referenceable. It's just not even funny. Yeah. Overall, I really enjoyed it. So those are my thoughts on season one. It's not the best. It gets better, but it is fairly good for, you know, the first attempt.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And, you know, Rhinox using the Chain Gun of Doom to splatter Waspinator, that was just awesome. I think my two favorite Waspinator splat alerts in this season are the Chain Gun of Doom and the skipping across the water like a rock.
Oh,
there are so many to choose from.
Splat.
Okay, both of you both need to stop talking at the same goddamn time.
Sorry.
Word.
What did you say, Steve, when you said about whacking somebody or something?
No, I said I like it when they, you know, hit the wall and then they go, or they skid across the water and then they smack into something like a wall or a...
Oh, okay.
That was mostly it.
Okay. Do we have anything else we would like to say about season one?
I think I just wanted to point out that you know, probably one of the reasons why this was, you know, so popular is that they made a point to write for adults, but the visual effects are more for kids.
Oh yeah, and yeah, so is the and so is the music in some spots. Especially a lot of comic a lot of the comedy music, like the wah wah wah, or you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely they tie into the older cartoons. You know, I would also say like older Looney Tunes.
Yeah,
but you know, Warner Brothers stuff. But yeah, the storylines are you know, they flow together and they're very easily followed by adults. But you know, when you get into the battles and you know, oh my god, your eyes bug out, or you know, you have the Wile E. Coyote moment where you know, Inferno suddenly runs out of gas, and or Pterosaur suddenly runs out of gas or something, and plummets to their death, and you know, then a little cloud of dust at the bottom of the canyon.
You're like, oh no.
Exactly, you know, and that, especially, like, the splat alerts, you know, anytime somebody gets splattered, blown up, or their head goes flying, and I think the younger kids are really gonna see that and go, wow, that's awesome, and, you know, wanna watch Waspinator get blown up 1,000 more times.
They're gonna see a splat alert come season two in, come season, once we get to season three, once we get to Feral Scream, they're gonna see a very, very violent splat alert for Waspinator. I'll explain off air. Steve already knows, but I'll explain off air. You know, I got to bring up the music too, because you know, some shows they focus on certain things and leave certain things out. This show, say what you want about the CGI, about how it was you know, cutting edge for the time, which it was, which most everything is cutting edge for its time, and then of course, you know, look at cell phones. You know, as soon as a new one comes out, there's a bigger, better one 4 months down the line. Whatever, same thing. But they didn't skimp on the music. They didn't skimp on the animation effects. The voice acting is superior.
Oh, it is awesome by far.
Yeah. It just is.
Absolutely. I think you were just making a comment, I want to say last episode, about how fantastic, like, Blue Mancuso's performance was.
Yeah, well, I said that he had, I said Tigatron does emotional well.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not the first time that I've given major props to Blue. I mean,
right, you know, but, you know, I was talking about the character of Tigatron, and I believe that was the first death in Beast Wars. Yeah.
Aside from Dinobot clone being eaten?
Okay.
That doesn't count as a clone.
That doesn't,
it was never
really
fully alive.
That doesn't count because it wasn't a friend or a family member.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Alright, but my point is, okay, Tigatron lost a friend. Okay? They went ahead, they did a burial.
Oh! I wasn't going to go there.
Sorry,
but...
Hey.
What the hell did you say, Steve?
I decided to. With benefits, because you said a friend.
No, shut up.
Bow.
No. Oh, God.
Sorry, I had to drag that into the remix, but,
Yeah,
digressing back into seriousness.
Like,
yeah.
But I like how they kept the continuity with everything, and then it even traveled as far as through season three, especially with this quantum surge ends up appearing in the next episode, but it started in this one, and it travels all the way through to Deep Metal in season three.
Oh, Michael, what was your... I said in last or 2 weeks ago when we did episode 9 that you were going to do a some strawberry story or something.
Oh, the strawberry grits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started off basically saying that I was dirt poor. And it was really bad because I was poor to begin with, but then also trying to put myself through college, and all we had in the house at one point was a big box of Quick Grits, like the industrial sized box of Quick Grits, and I think even that was from a food pantry. And then right next to that was a big thing of Strawberry Quick. And I don't even know where the Strawberry Quick came from. But that's all we had to eat. And finally we said, you know what, I think we should mix these two together. So we did. We mixed up a big batch of grits and stirred in a good generous helping of Strawberry Quick. And we ate Strawberry Grits for about 3 to 4 days before the paycheck came in.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and at first it's like, at first you're thinking, wow, Strawberry Grits, that can't be that bad, right? You know, at least to try it. But after 3 or 4 days, you just, just want to slit your own wrists.
Yeah. Well, we also had moments like that where we were eating popcorn, macaroni and cheese, hot dogs, and ramen noodles. That's all we ate.
Yeah. Well, that was on a good day.
Yeah, that was on a good day. On a bad day, we were having just ramen noodles.
Strawberry grits. What do you got? It's like, all right, we've already used up all the spaghetti noodles. Because, you know, in a pinch, you can boil up some spaghetti noodles and you know, melt some butter on top of it, and you can eat that, and it's fine. But when all that's gone, and all you've got left is, you know, a bottle of ketchup and some quick grits, and that's what you eat.
Then your sanity and...
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, eventually you get paid and you make more money and you can go buy more food, but, you know, it's, you know, and when I say we, I mean, like, you know, not my wife and I, because this is long before I met her, but no, I had a roommate, and, you know, but we were both pretty poor, so. But yeah, that's my quick grit story. Someday I'll put it in my memoirs, but you'll all have a sneak peek.
Or a memoirs, post.
Memoirs.
Shut up. No. Okay,
floating
that's it.
On the interwebs.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
Hey,
because I am so awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
But do you have a speaking problem there?
No, you do.
English. Do you speak it?
It sounds like he's trying to do a Klingon version of the Nickelodeon commercial.
What were you going to say, Steve?
Well, remember how in the last episode I talked about finding the images?
Yes.
Megatron's his little bedroom where he's got the Starscream bowling pin, the fusion cannon, he's got a bowling trophy, and he's got a picture of himself on the wall. Which I'm not really sure
what that picture is supposed to be. What is that? Is that his dino pattern?
It almost looks like his season 2 form.
Huh.
It almost looks like it, like it's buried in there, because it looks like when he's on robot mode and like he's riding on that rocket that he sent in season 2 in the end.
Poor Optimus.
Yes.
Poor
Optimus.
His head.
Did you see it?
Oh, that's his head. Yeah, I see it now.
Yeah, his chest plate, that's the first thing that pops up, and then you see his head, and he's got his mouth open, and he looks like, you know, oh, shit. And then
his eyes are still on, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
his eyes are still lit up. That's a good sign.
Well, that's probably the last thing he saw before he went offline, and it just locked him that way.
You know, the problem with Optimus in Other Voices Part 2 when he exploded...
Exploded.
Yes, exploded.
I like them words.
The problem with that is, you know, maybe it wouldn't have happened so bad if he had actually had the faceplate still up.
He panicked, man. Leave him alone.
All right.
He couldn't have an oh shit moment without his mouth showing.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Alrighty then. Alright, so that's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com. Join the forums protoconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter, Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFG1 Mike. And Michael, what is your Twitter?
PeconCourt Michael.
Steve.
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time when we will be reviewing the first 3 episodes from Beast Wars Season 2. Those being Aftermath and Coming of the Fusers, Part 1 and Part 2. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips
and Michael Wilson.
Singing the Megatron, close Season 1 for us, Megatron.
Sang in the immortal words of Megatron. Excellent. Yes.
That it?
Yes.
No Narwhal?
No.
No
that
Team Rocket?
A song of blasphemy.
Tell us what you really think of Narwhals, Megatron.
If I ever hear someone even speak words from that song again, they will be worse than dead. I will send them. I'll melt them down into aluminum siding. Oh, yes, indeed.
I was waiting for the aluminum siding. Yeah.
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast, Ultra Gear.
Spark goes online, there's great joy.